You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Woodley, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'd be better if we didn't do these rankings every year, because they twist me in knots, my friend. I got to say, it's...
Well, I love it.
I end up just going... I go back to the numbers most of the time, because the, you know... At the end of the day, the stuff that I feel and think, the numbers tend to be a better predictor.
Okay, that's totally fair. You got to try to remove emotion. So I understand. Now, I wasn't here last week. Who did you guys? What division do you want to do today?
We're not to the Pacific Division. We're into the Western Conference. I figured we'd do the Central first, save the
Perfect.
Pacific.
That's what I thought.
Best for last. Or, okay. You know, tease them up, make them wait till the last week.
Yeah, hey, that's okay. So for those listening, we like to go from 8 to 1 on who Kevin likes ranking. And this is goalie duos for a team. And duos, because it's important that you might have a great starter, but maybe your backup isn't so much there. And as he said, he goes off of the numbers. So let's start number 8 in the Central Division.
Yeah, this one actually is fairly easy. And this is the hard part, is it is saying it's easy and not meaning to be disrespectful, but I just think the environment in Chicago makes it easy to predict that those goaltenders will have a tough time. Spencer Knight's numbers were around league average last year, which on that team is really good. Soderblom got off to a really good start, and I actually kind of like the upside for Arvid Soderblom. Just a really tough place to learn to discover that upside. The experience that they hope to have in Laurent Brossoit, I'm sure you saw the news by now, looks like he's going to be out again for an indefinite period after off-season hip surgery. Drew Comesso is a really nice prospect coming in behind him, but and like we've talked about this before, Jason, with the importance of Mike Smith during Stuart Skinner's early years there in Vancouver, of having somebody to sort of help show you the ropes, what it's like to manage your game versus managing your minutes, and you know, find that balance as you get your way into the league. And as much as Knight had that with Sergei Bobrovsky, it was in an environment that was a lot more predictable. And so how to navigate one that is a lot less predictable, a lot tougher on goaltenders. There's probably some steps backwards, it feels like, for this organization, even if I believe in the talent of both guys before they get a chance to move forward.
Yeah, a lot of it's going to come down to the environment, right? Now, unless they both can stand on their head, it's going to be difficult.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I said, to me, Spencer Knight sticking around league average last year, adjusted save percentage, Soderblom just being ever so slightly below it, like that's pretty good considering what they faced. And we know there's upside in both guys, but when you look at their overall numbers, their numbers last year, like they've all got a dash attached to them. They're all below expected. No. And so you're probably not going to see big strides until things stabilize in front of them. And I just don't see that happening this year.
Okay. That's fair. So let's move to number 7.
This is a tough one. What if I told you I had the second best starter by the numbers last year in the 7 hole from a tandem perspective, and that is the Minnesota Wild. Wow. And I wrestled with this one, and you could probably go a number of different ways. The fact that Filip Gustavsson was so good last year, overall in his past 3 seasons, he's a top 10 goaltender in the National Hockey League. So a little bit of this is, 3 years ago was great, 2 years ago was bad, last year was great. So I've seen this pattern with other goalies where they alternate back and forth between the two. I don't think we'll see that here. The biggest reason that this ranking is so low is because of the uncertainty behind him. And, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, even as things started to fall off in his game a little bit midway through last season, still finished slightly above expected. Like, he gave them league average goaltending. And for the first half, he gave them better than that. Jesper Wallstedt, for all the potential and upside, his one appearance in the National Hockey League did not go well last year. Mm-hmm. There may be steps there to be taken. And so I maybe would have liked to have seen them get a little more NHL experience in the 3-hole. They went with Cal Peterson. And listen, I haven't watched Cal Peterson in years. I applauded his extension for 5x5 in LA because I thought the way he played the game should translate to the way offense was being created, but it just hasn't. Like, we haven't seen him in the National Hockey League in a long time. He struggled. you know, at least by the raw numbers, even in the American Hockey League. So to me, this is about questions behind Gustavsson. Certainly the talent there for Wallstedt to answer all those questions. And they are a team that tends to support their goaltenders pretty well in terms of environment. But that's a big ask. And the one thing about Gustavsson, even though it's improved in the past couple of years, we've talked in the past about conditioning. And I don't know if there's criticisms there still to be had, but at least question marks around it. And That better be up to snuff, because by the looks of it, he's going to have to play a lot this year.
Oh, you think he'll play just why? You don't think they're going to ride Gustavsson that much?
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Gustavsson's conditioning.
That was
one of the issues. Now, I think it's improved in the past year, recognizing what it takes to be the number one guy. But man, like, it's just, you lose a guy like Fleury. I think we underestimate, you know, we talked about this, you know, in terms of the Blackhawks not having that guy. This will be a big year for Gustavsson, and we'll see without that security blanket, without that support mechanism there. Is he up for the challenge? And for Wallstedt as well, first time in the league, a lot of pressure. It's a lot to ask. And you know, again, there's talent there, but usually it requires a little bit of experience before you can be comfortable with, hey, this guy's going to give you 30 good games.
Number six.
Yeah, this one is another one where it's about the depth chart behind them. I've got the Utah Mammoth there. And Carl Vemelka, as good as he was last year, still graded out, you know, like top 20 goaltender, plus 0.7 on the adjusted save percentage. They bring in Vitek Vanacek. They're going to let Connor Ingram go. Interesting to me, because when he's, you know, when everything in his personal life is on track and he's feeling good, there's no doubt in his ability and his talent. And he's put up some really good numbers for them up till last season and leaving to go into the program. So enter Vanacek, who had a really tough year last year, even in Florida, by the numbers. His years over the past three combined, grayed out around league average, as do Vemelka's. And when you add those up, as good as Vemelka was last season, he's another guy like Gustavsson that's been one season on, one season off. So can he find some consistency in his game? I do like, even without Ingram, I like the experience they've got in the three hole. I think that Jackson Stauber is an NHL-capable goaltender already, and Matt Villalta has a lot of experience in the American League as well as a little taste of the NHL. So I like their overall depth, but I think we saw them lean too heavily on Vemelka, and it's going to be interesting to see whether that happens again or whether Vanacek can have a real bounce back from last season, because last season, like I said, from a statistical standpoint, was in the bottom third of the league.
Yeah, well, what do you think it is about Vanacek as to what, like, what did he struggle so much with?
You know, you've heard me use this phrase before, but sort of high floor, questions about the ceiling. Like, and as the game's gotten more dynamic and you need to sort of have this other layer for tough saves, he's a guy that, you know, has a good technical foundation, puts himself in good spots, but is there that extra layer to make tough saves? You see it in the penalty kill numbers a little bit. And listen, like last year, he bounced around a bit, and it wasn't all behind great teams, and he ultimately ends up in Florida. And like I said, it didn't go great there either, and that is obviously a good team defensively. But sometimes you got to account for the fact that, you know, they have their – These are people, and they move around, and it's not easy, and there are other factors. So, like I said, his numbers over the past 3 years aren't terrible. They're right around league average, but that's below what Ingram was giving them when he was there and settled and feeling good about his game like 2 years ago. And so to ask Vemelka to stop bullets in his teeth and, you know, be like a 30-game guy. Honestly, Jason, I read a report today that they were out on Carter Hart, and I thought that might be a case. That might be a spot where he would land. And if so, this would have quickly become one of the top tandems in the league, despite him being out, like just from a pure ability standpoint, despite being out as long as he'd been. It's just, there's a lot of questions about whether last year was the beginning of something in the wrong direction or just a blip for Vanacek. And I guess time will tell, but it just feels like that's an organization that's leaned heavily on Vemelka in the past, and they might have to do it again.
So we move now to number five.
Yeah, and this one, I've got the Nashville Predators here. And it feels like they should be higher, because of UC Saros' overall body of work. And I know everybody says he had a bad season last year, but for the first third of it, he was in the Vezina conversation by the numbers. He was exceptional. They were a bad team that ultimately he couldn't prop up. And eventually, the lack of quality defending and abundance of high quality chances in front of him eventually caught up with him. And his numbers dipped to just slightly above league average. But still, over the past three seasons, top 10 goaltender in the National Hockey League. Questions to me for them as a tandem are more around Eustace Annanen, who, again, over the past 3 years in his time in Colorado, posted some good numbers in some tiny samples and some insulated starts where they really protected him and put him again out against the lesser lights. Last year in Nashville behind a bad team without that protection, the numbers fell off a cliff. So which guy do you get? This could bump up significantly if you get more out of Annanen, because it's pretty clear, as good as Saros can be and has been, you can't expect him, to basically save your entire team. There needs to be a little bit more structure. And I'm curious to see whether they get that in Nashville this year. I think the tales of UC Saros' demise have been greatly overstated, and I think he'll be fine. But the question marks behind him led me to drop this one down a bit.
Okay. So we get now to the top half in the Central Division for goaltending tandem rankings. Who's number four?
This one's probably going to surprise some people. And I, honestly, by the numbers, if not for their great backup play last year, I could have dropped them further. I've got the Dallas Stars here.
Ooh. Jake Oettinger's numbers weren't great last year.
They weren't. They were below expected. And for the last 3 years combined, they're just barely above expected. Now, Casey DeSmith saved it last year. He was plus 1.4%, which is like a top 10 goaltender in the National. It's better numbers than Connor Hellebuck put up in a smaller sample, obviously. So I believe in the talent of Oettinger as well. Like, we've seen what he's capable. We see how far he gets in the playoffs every year. Like, he's a young goaltender who's been to, what, three straight Western Conference finals. And yet, the numbers don't lie. This is one where my eye test wants to put it higher, where my belief in the way he approaches the game and the physical tools that he possesses all say he should be higher. But when you look at these numbers and you look at the quality in this division in terms of starters, especially Saros behind him, like Saros, again, everybody looks at UC Saros and says he has a bad year. Well, by the numbers, he had a better year adjusted save percentage-wise than Jake Oettinger did last year. So Casey DeSmith was exceptional for them last year. He might be the best bargain in the National Hockey League at $1 million per season for another 2 years. And that's kind of why I kept the Stars ahead of the Nashville Predators. They've got a coaching change there. I'm a huge fan of Glenn Gullitson. Let's see what that impact is defensively, because they have insulated their goaltender. I think that's why the raw numbers look so good at times. And I think probably why people are going to look at this and say I'm nuts. But again, when I look at ClearSight Analytics and the adjusted numbers, and Steven Valiquette, when he's assessed this, has probably been more critical than I am of Jake Oettinger. They just don't add up to a higher ranking. Not when we have, Jordan Binnington, Mackenzie Blackwood even, and Connor Hellebuck still to talk about in this division.
All right, so let's get to the top three here with Kevin Woodley. Who do you have as three?
St. Louis Blues. And this is one where I could have gone either way, because their numbers over the past three seasons, Jordan Binnington and Joel Hofer, would dictate that you could put them in an argument right up there with the Winnipeg Jets, who I think people have probably guessed by now are top of this division, not to give it away.
Okay.
But last season in particular, which is interesting because the defensive play got better under Jim Montgomery, but both guys were below expected. Like, both guys were slightly below expected last year. It surprised even me when I looked up the numbers, Jason, to the point where I reset the filters to make sure I hadn't screwed something up. I did it twice. That's how odd it looked to me. The reality of the past three seasons is these guys have been really good. Last season they dipped, and yet they still got on that run down the playoffs. So is that them? And the numbers say it's not because they're facing great chances and just having to make great saves. Like, the numbers have fallen off. So this was one where I really struggled. I'm going to go with body of work. We saw what Binnington did at the Four Nations. I think Hofer is an exceptional turn 25 heading into the season. Otherwise, I would have had him on my top 10 under 25 list that I did for NHL.com earlier this year. And then you look behind them, Ellis, Cirenko, Cranley, all young, inexperienced goaltenders. But you look at what they did with Hofer. Like, I love, they got Dan Stewart in a development role there. I think he's really good at his job. And so if they need somebody, watch him have somebody ready to come up. He works in great tandem with Dave Alexander, the goalie coach there. They've got a really nice sort of thing going. And so my hunch is these guys will finish higher. But again, can't ignore the math. And the math says that based on last season, it's hard to put them ahead of the Colorado Avalanche, even if in the last three seasons, they should be overall.
Okay, so Colorado you have at number two, obviously. Is it solely on the starter, or do you like the tandem?
I like the tandem. I thought they played well off of each other. They played quite differently. Blackwood at plus 0.6%, Scott Wedgewood at plus 0.2%. Them and the Winnipeg Jets were the only tandem in this entire division where both guys were above expected last season. So to me, that consistency, they're not asked to stop bullets in their teeth, but they've got a really, like Wedgewood plays a more athletic, active game. Blackwood, I mean, he can just play hit me back there, but he does it with such, like, he's so big, but he's also got some power and some explosiveness in his game. Their overall numbers over the past three seasons on different teams are probably better than people expected, right around league average, which is not bad considering where they were at various stops. So, you know, that it's more about last season to have them ahead compared, especially with St. Louis. If you were to look at the last 3 years combined, I would flip-flop this. But based on last year, based on Blackwood being more comfortable heading in there this year and Wedgewood the same, it's easy for me to have them right now too. And based on the fact that they're the only tandem who are both above league average last season, it's easy to have them in that two spot.
Okay. And now the Jets, this clearly is only on regular season numbers.
Yeah. Well, and you know what changes? You know what changes in the playoffs, Jason?
Yeah.
The environment, right? Like, listen, like Connor, this is the funny thing. Like Connor Hellebuck won the Hart last year. He was plus 1.2%. We've talked about this before. There are a handful of guys that were better than that.
No.
Now, body of work, his willingness to play as many games, his numbers over the last 3 years combined are actually higher than his numbers last season. This is about consistency, being one of the best goalies. Eric Comrie, over the last 3 years, despite only being back in Winnipeg last year, he's also better over the last three than he was last year. So you combine those two things. Listen, if the bottom falls out defensively, you'll see these numbers come down because they had two of the three easiest defensive environments in the entire National Hockey League last year in the regular season. That too fell apart in the playoffs, as much as the focus is just on Hellebuck. It's hard to argue with the workload, the relationship, the way they work off each other. Now, you talk about having a partnership. Hellebuck, Comrie, and Wade Flaherty, the goalie coach, everything they do is with a purpose and in tandem there. And that's why I think they get the best out of both guys. Eric's been better there than in other places. And I think that's the support and the way they've set things up and the way they let those guys go about their business. So again, other than Colorado, another tandem where they had the only two guys that were above expected last year. And one of the few, unlike Colorado, that was also above expected both guys over the past 3 years combined, which might surprise some people given the numbers in Buffalo for Comrie the year before. So this is the only tandem in the division that is above expected last season and over the last three seasons combined, both guys. They've got not a lot of NHL experience in the American League. The Chris Driedger experiment, they traded him away last year, and now he's over in the KHL. They didn't replace him with NHL experience, but they've got some nice up-and-coming prospects in Thomas Milich and DiVincentis. So I think they're fine, given the fact that they trust. If there were an injury, Hellebuck's a workhorse anyways. If there's an injury to Hellebuck, you're probably looking for help. Just because as good as Comrie has been there, asking him to take over that workload would be too tough.
Kev, great rundown, buddy. We'll be doing the Pacific Division next week. We look forward to it.
Thanks, Jason.
There you go. That's Kevin Wood.